Good morning. Good morning. I hope you've all enjoyed the cold snap we had this week. Hopefully we get some less bugs this summer for the cold that we've tolerated. I would just like to highlight that we are going to be starting renewal services in a couple weeks here. You are welcome to attend. They are Sunday night through Wednesday night, and we'd love to see you to hear our guest speaker. I'd also like to highlight that we're going to have an Ash Wednesday service. It starts at 7 downstairs in the fellowship. Oh, it was. I'm a week behind, sorry. We also have a bunch of announcements up here on the screen and in your bulletin. Any questions about those? You may certainly see anybody on the ministry team, and we'll try our best to get you answers. Are there any announcements out there that aren't mentioned? I don't see any, so I'm going to ask you to stand and join me in our unison call to worship. Lord, we come hungry and we come thirsty for you. We offer ourselves, Lord, in obedience and surrender to your holy word. Lead us and guide us to holy and pleasing lives. We praise you, O Lord. And please join us in hymn number 100. Praise him, praise him.
And friends, we have so much reason to praise him this morning. Amen. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. We invite you, if you have any joys or concerns, to share with your church family. There'll be a microphone coming around. We ask you to just simply put your hand in the air, and we'll get that to you.
Yeah, just a prayer for the Bayshore family. My aunt, My dad's sister, Martha Bayshore Davidson, passed away in Ohio this past week.
I would guess that there's some in this congregation who don't realize that when the Church of the Brethren decided to do missionary work in Nigeria, they began in Garkita. And the Church of the Brethren got news this week that Boko Haram came into Garkita, and they targeted not only the Church of the Brethren, but they did a lot of damage to the Church of the Brethren. Three of our big churches were torched. The youth hostel was torched. We had a school that taught preachers. That was torched. Administrative offices, everything. And they killed people and they abducted people. And so we need to keep the Church of the Brethren in our prayers. You know that we've been involved in Maiduguri, and Boko Haram has cut off the roads to Maiduguri, and the people need food. 17 truckloads of grain were being hauled into Maiduguri. They stopped them and they torched those 17 trucks. And so we have a real problem with the Christians and the Jews being attacked by Boko Haram. And so I would pray for not only us, but for our enemies. And then in South Sudan, there's a totally different kind of problem. The Church of the Brethren spent a lot of time to get the New Testament written into the New Air language, and the New Airs of Southern Sudan are now being attacked by, of all things, locusts. And I asked someone who's been into that country pretty often, will they have any food once the locusts are done eating all the greenery? And they said, no, there's a problem with starvation already, and that will increase tremendously. So I think we need to pray diligently that we as a country can help those two countries. I'm not saying that we shouldn't help Congo. I understand that the locusts have devastated that country too.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Linda Schrack. She was hospitalized this week and is still there with fluid on her lungs.
Just safe prayers coming for the Myers clan coming home today. It'll be a shock from the tropics to Philadelphia.
Good morning. I survived the biopsy. We're looking to the Lord. I'll get the results on Wednesday. So keep me in your prayers.
Let us pray. Precious Lord, we turn to you in this very hour, and we're very much aware of the violence that is happening in areas that are very close to our hearts. And Lord, we pray for our enemy. We ask, Lord, your peace to be still in their hearts, that they would come to know you through the witness of the people that they are persecuting and killing. That, Lord, they would hear their prayers from the people that love them the most and who love Jesus and want to share that love with them. But Lord, we know the enemy is at work in the lives of the Boko Haram. And we pray, Lord, that you would just cease their actions. Lord, by your powerful right hand, you would sweep across every area that's being impacted and instill your peace. And we believe, Lord, peace can happen and peace can prevail. So Lord, we trust you that you would be their provision as food sources are being destroyed. And we know, Lord, even today as we talk about our scripture, you're the bread of life. And no matter what happens to us, even physically, if we die, we know that that bread of life you offer us spiritually gives us life eternal. But Lord, as a Christian world and community, we pray in some way we might be able to extend our right hand to help in whatever way you call us to. We think, Lord, of areas being affected by locusts and their food sources being destroyed. And Lord, we know that you have a way of providing and meeting our needs, and we just pray however you choose to do that, you would do so soon that their needs would be met. And we lift up Sudan and Congo in special ways in this very hour. We think of those that are mourning, not only in the Church of the Brethren with the EYN, but those that have lost loved ones. And we think of Martha's family, Lord, and others that have lost loved ones, and pray your peace, pray your comfort, pray your joy over them for the knowledge of their salvation, of where they are now. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can be committed to you, we can be surrendered to you, and know that this life is but a vapor and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So, Lord, we pray that we would be found faithful, that we would be found loving towards others in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Lord, for the saving knowledge that we have through your Son. We thank you, Lord, for Suzanne this morning. And Lord, you know the biopsy and the results that are awaiting her. Lord, we pray that you would continue to give her a peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter what the results are, Lord, that she continues to trust and believe in you and know that you have a pleasing plan for her life. And we just think of those that are being affected by temperature change and the Myers coming home, Lord, what it'll be like coming into Philadelphia from the beautiful warm weather they're at right now, and just give them what they need to avoid getting any type of sickness, Lord, that you would wrap your loving arms and your warmth around them, Lord, as they come back home. And we rejoice in the safety that you'll give them as they travel. We thank you for Daniel this morning, and just continue to give him the strength he needs, the encouragement he needs, and his entire family, Lord. And just thank you for the love that is evident among us and among them as we continue to support and encourage one another. And we lift up by name those on our prayer concerns, and think of Carl and Christine and Rufus and John and Sandy and Naomi and Kenny and others, Lord, that come to our minds now. We think of Linda, and we just pray, Lord, that you would just allow your healing touch to be upon them. Lord, we know that your plans are perfect. We can't change what your plan is for our lives, but Lord, we can submit to your plans, and we can be willing to endure whatever it is you have for us in this season of life. So Lord, help us to follow you closely, to know you more deeply, and to realize that it's you in the midst of our lives that is always at work. And just thank you for being here in our presence as we worship you this morning, and we praise you, and we know that you're with us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
we come to our time of offering today, I was thinking about our scripture, which mentions bread. And I found out through a little bit of research that bread is mentioned 492 times in the Bible. Jesus must have been a brethren, because we like our bread too. And it also got me thinking about who we share our bread with. And I looked up some statistics, and I found that 16.4% of children in Pennsylvania are under the poverty line. I found out that 4.3% of Pennsylvania is unemployed, and 13% of youth are disconnected. 48% get a higher education, and the gender gap is up to 81 cents. There are 6 kids in every 1,000 kids that are living away from their families, and the teen birth rate is 14.8 births in 1,000. The good news for this is that thanks to churches, thanks to communities, thanks to the programs that have been put in place, these numbers are going down. But I implore you today to reach out and give for those that are around us that we should be sharing our bread with. Will you pray with me? Lord, we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings we give today. Let the majesty of the Father be the light that guides us, the compassion of the Son be the love that inspires us, and the presence of the Spirit be the power that empowers us. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.
Thank you. bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing.
I'd like to invite the children to come join me up front. Good morning, everyone.
Morning. Glad
to see everyone again.
Us too.
So I'm afraid I might have you guys a little bit hungry this morning after what we talk about, okay? Mm-hmm. Savannah already gave us a little bit of a heads up. But I'm not just talking about hunger for food, but also for Jesus. So first of all, I have a question for you. Raise your hand if you love bread. Who loves bread?
I do.
You do. I think a lot of us do.
Anything to eat, if we don't have any apples, I just take a nice piece of wheat bread with nothing.
Yeah. Bread nourishes us, doesn't it?
It's a healthy thing.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone have a favorite kind of bread?
Wheat bread?
White bread?
I have a sandwich.
Yeah, you like bread on your sandwich? Mm-hmm. Do you want to know what my favorite kind of bread is?
The Jesus bread that I served at the Last Supper.
That's a good point, but mine's actually from a restaurant. It's those Cheddar Bay biscuits from Red Lobster. Did you ever try those?
Those are good. But
I get hungry just thinking about them.
Yeah, but I love those, but I'd rather go to Red Lobster and get crab legs.
Oh, I'm with you there too. Did you know that bread is common to people who live in all parts of the world? So it may be in different shapes and forms, depending on where you live in the world. But everywhere, people eat bread. So it's a basic type of food that nourishes our body. So here in the United States, we're used to seeing a typical loaf of bread, right? You might have this at your house right now.
Yep.
Okay.
But in like France, they have like those long things that probably Okay.
Let's talk about, that's a good one. Let's talk about that one first.
That's it.
Does anyone know what this one is called?
Baguette.
Very good. Very good. So this is a French baguette. And it's common in France. It's very long and skinny. I forgot to grab my other kind out of the fridge this morning, but what do we eat, typically eat tacos on?
Taco shells, I love
them. What are those called? What are the shells called? Do you know?
Taco shells?
There's a special name for them.
I don't know, but they are good without anything on.
Tortillas.
All right.
Yeah. Anyone know what country tortillas come from? That's their
Mexico.
Type. Mexico. Mexico.
I was guessing, because like,
good.
You think tacos, you know, Mexican.
Yeah. I have a couple. Now, I had good hopes of trying to bake some of this bread, but it didn't happen. So I have a couple pictures of other types of bread. So this one, it's actually called Irish soda bread.
Really?
Okay, so this is from Ireland. There's little raisins in there.
Okay.
Does anyone know what this is? Possibly? It looks like a waffle, kind of, doesn't
it's not.
It?
It's pizza.
That would be delicious.
Pizza
has bread too. This is actually called a crumpet. Like people in England and Canada like to eat this type of bread with their tea.
Oh, yeah. I've seen actually Aslan and Kaboom eat that before, and I was like, what is that?
Yeah. I have one more to show you, and you might have seen this one around. Does anyone know what this one is? Does anyone know what this one is called?
Pizza.
This is pita bread. Pita bread. And you see the little pocket? People put their food inside those pockets. This type of bread comes from the Middle East.
I wish tacos were made like that, because then you wouldn't have a mess on your hands all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just guessing that because I've never had a taco before.
So we could go on and talking about lots of different types of bread, right? There's so many. But if we look at all the different types of bread, we realize that bread is important everywhere, right? All over the world. We need it. It's vital to our health and our well-being. So you might be wondering why we're talking about bread on a Sunday morning in church.
Because Jesus had died, he said in the morning, the bread has been used in the Bible over 460 times.
Right.
And just think back, the first time, the Last Supper, they were served bread.
Exactly.
The migration where this little boy had brought a few pieces of bread. Jesus ripped it up and it was fed everyone. Those are the two main stories I remember when they were bread.
Very good, yes. We need bread just like we need Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He describes himself as bread because he is vital to our well-being, right? Do we need Jesus in our lives?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to follow him and not the devil.
We need him in our life. So as believers, we are given eternal life and life that never ends. So Jesus, the bread of life, he nourishes us and supplies us with God's love. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are our bread of life. We believe in you, and we know that you will take care of our every need. Amen. All right, you may head back to your seats.
Still that he is there.
Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray in this very hour you would still our hearts, you would quiet our minds, you would open our ears, that we would come to know you as the bread of life, the only one who can truly sustain us, the only one who can carry us through the most difficult of times. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be continually spiritually nurtured and enriched and given all that we need through your son Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Yet again, Jesus was there. I want you to think about the last time Jesus was there for you. For many, we don't have to look very far into the past. We could look even today and see that Jesus was there for us. So in our scripture this morning in John chapter 6, he's crossing the shores of the Sea of Tiberias. And once again, the crowds are following him. Now, I don't know about you, but crowds tend to follow certain types of people, don't they? They're popular, they're rich, they have something to offer. And in this case, that's exactly what Jesus has. He's performed miracles, and these crowds are following him because they long to see yet another miracle. So Jesus climbs a mountain. Now imagine crowds following that much that you need to climb a mountain just to get alone with your disciples. You can imagine the scene is quite majestic as Jesus and the disciples are sitting there, the valleys before them. But friends, another miracle is about to happen. We don't know if it was bread or if it was hot enough that day, it was toast. But Jesus, in the sixth chapter of John, has just fed the 5,000. And the disciples are stressing over money, questioning how much wage is it going to take to feed these people. And Jesus wonders, where is their faith? Well, at least Andrew notices this boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But even he still has doubt that's enough to feed this huge crowd that's following them. So Jesus simply says, sit them all down. Almost like, that's enough. Let's feed them. They're hungry. And he takes loaves and he takes the fish and he thanks God for them. Then he passes them out. And we can imagine the crowd. You can imagine how excited they are to be being fed. And we may hear them singing this song all around the coast, country coast to coast. People always say, what do you like most? I don't want to brag. I don't want to boast. I always tell them, I like toast.
I like toast. Yeah, toast.
I get up in the morning about 6 a.m., have a little jelly, have a little jam. Take a piece of bread, put it in the slot, push down the lever, and the wires get hot. I get toast. When the first caveman drove in from the dregs, didn't know what would go with the bacon and the eggs. Must have been a genius, got it in his head, plugged the toaster in the wall, buy a bag of bread, and make toast.
Yeah, toast. Yeah, toast.
Now, there's no secret to toasting perfection. There's a dial on the side, and you make your selection. Push to the dark or the light, and then, if it pops out too soon, press down again. Make toast.
Yeah, toast. Yeah, toast.
And friends, we know that there was more than enough toast. There's actually 12 baskets left over. Many think there were 12 disciples. 12 baskets left over makes the disciples consider. So maybe, just maybe, the start of this Lenten season could simply be an attitude of gratitude for the blessings in our lives. And at the same time, the willingness to say the sins left over, you know, those sins that continue to rot, they need to be tossed. Maybe for some it's long overdue to clean out the fridge of our lives where we store those same smelly sins. But notice something. Jesus tells the disciples to pick up the leftovers so they realize the abundance of life that he offers, and as not to waste anything. Now, if we take bread and we take life and we correlate them, we don't want any single slice or any single life wasted. Amen? He's also perhaps saying to us, take our talents, take our abilities, take what God has gifted us with and offer them to him. But at the same time, break away our pride and our reliance on self, those sins that are left over, and then allow those talents to be blessed by God. And then, friends, infuse them with the Holy Spirit. Plug in to that power. And it's amazing the things God will do through ordinary people. So I don't know how hungry you are today. I don't know if you're starving, if you're filled to the gills. But let's get spiritual. Let's talk about Jesus as the bread of life. He says these very words in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Friends, we know it's one of the seven I am statements of Jesus. And who I am matters. Friends, these words declare who Jesus is. They identify his saving relationship to us. They mean, as the verse continues, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, we all know bread is a staple. It's one of the first things that come out with dinner. It's lunch meat's best friend. Some like it with jelly or butter or peanut butter and jelly. It's great to dip into my eggs. But I don't know about you, I love toast. And a person can actually survive a very long time on only bread and water. It's such a basic food, it becomes synonymous for food in general. We often use the phrase breaking bread together to show the sharing of a meal with others. So all this plays into the scene being described here in John 6 when Jesus uses this term bread of life. Remember, he's trying to get away from the crowds. Yet again, he was there, and he feeds their hunger. But friends, have you ever realized there's a hunger and a thirst beyond the physical? There's a hunger for life that never ends. It's a satisfaction we can't seem to quench with anything other than God. But it seems people through the ages can't grasp this concept. I can't always grasp this concept. So what do? We start the Lenten season by giving up something, but then there's something else we want more. I gave up fast food. But guess what? Those Krispy Kreme donuts Malachi just had to bring home from school are a very good replacement, and I want more. But friends, in reality, that 40 days just isn't enough for us. Sacrifice needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be a way of living. So Jesus is telling us our expectations aren't really in line. Life's not about filling our hunger with food, but about believing, about trusting in the one who fills the soul and fills the spirit with life forever. We can say bread, we can say life, and we can say Jesus. So he's taking this moment. He's sharing with us a lesson. He's accusing the crowd of ignoring his miraculous signs and following him for the free meal. In John 6:27, he says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." In other words, the crowds were so consumed with the miraculous food, they were missing out on the fact Jesus, the Messiah, was there with them. Now, friends, I've had some amazing bread in life. I have to agree with Ashley. Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits are the best. But you know, as good as they are, they're not near as good as the bread of eternal life. Remember what happens when you let that physical bread out too long. It molds. It loses shelf life. And ultimately, it perishes. But friends, Jesus is the spiritual bread that matters. And physically, we're filled for a brief time. But without Jesus, our spiritual lives will continue to decay and will perish with that sin in a place not so pleasant. So what matters is the bread of life, the life ever after. When Jesus says those who come to him will never hunger, and those who believe in him will never thirst, he's saying to us he will satisfy our hunger and thirst to be made righteous in the sight of God. If there's anything the history of human religion can teach us, it is this. People seek to earn their way to heaven. And here's why. God created us with eternity in mind. So it's a natural human desire. Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Bible says God has placed the desire for eternity in our hearts. Romans 3:23 says, though, there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven because we've all sinned. And Romans 6:23, the only thing our sin earns us is death. So Romans 3:10, there is no one who is righteous in and of himself. So friends, there's our dilemma. We have this built-in desire we cannot fulfill no matter what we do. And that's where Jesus comes into play. We can say he's the batter-up, and he smashes a grand slam in which the entire world gets to score. He, and he alone, can fulfill that desire in our hearts for righteousness. Through this divine transaction, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, when Christ died on the cross, he took the sins of mankind upon himself and he made atonement for every one. So friends, when we place our faith in him, our sins are handed over and his righteousness is given to us. There's nothing else that could fill us. The bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Lord, satisfies our hunger and our thirst for righteousness. Who I am matters. And it's not our plans, but friends, it's always God's plans. Would you pray with me? Lord, we know that your ways are far greater than our ways. And Lord, we can't always understand them, but day in and day out, Lord, you are using us in ways to share your love with others. But Lord, with that love, we share who you are, Jesus, our Lord. And we pray today that you would continue to mold us into your likeness. As we travel through the Lenten season, help us to look inward, to see where that sin remains and where we need to clean it out. So Lord, with your help, I pray you would guide us and lead us into that holy and pleasing living, knowing, Lord, though we will fail, and your forgiveness is always available, you're always there. So thank you. We can turn to you in every second of every day and know that you will guide us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are indeed the bread of life. Amen. Let us not forget this day that this isn't the only place that God is. God goes with us. He travels wherever we travel, and we never need to feel alone. We never need to fear sharing his love with others. I pray, especially this Easter season, as we celebrate the forgiveness of sins, we would make his name known among the nations. May it be so, in Jesus' name.